the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, it trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. Time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion.
How great Praise the Lord. Thank you for that awesome music. I just really would like to hear just the music rendition. Just how great is our God. How great. How great. Hallelujah. Woo, how great is our God. Woo, he's everywhere at once. He hears even our humblest cry. When nobody else can hear you, he can hear you. There were times in this journey that I wanted to pray and I couldn't. I didn't have a word. I couldn't, you know, all I could say was Lord, and there was nothing I could say after that. But I knew that Jesus was hearing my heart and that the Holy Spirit was moving forward just the same. I can't do this like somebody, everybody, like anyone else does. I have to do it my way. Frank Sinatra sang that, right? So I got to do it my way. But this is our prayer time. And this is so silly, but I forgot to tell the morning people my praise report. They heard a lot of the praise report, but on Wednesday, I had a clear mammogram. Woo, praise the Lord. After chemo and radiation and, you know, all that other stuff that goes with it, I had a clear report. So I just thank God and give him honor and all glory for it. Because it's nothing I did myself, believe me. We want to pray for Danielle Tillman for good test results. And for all those who are on our list, our prayer list, you know, sometimes we think our list is so long, but think how long the Lord's list is, okay? So we could pray for the ones we know about, but we can also pray for those that we don't know about, right? Because it's our faith. That's what we do. Everybody doesn't have to bear their souls to us, right? Go before the throne of grace and we go with them. So let us pray. Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. First, giving thanks that you allowed us to wake up this morning and that you called us to assemble before you and to receive your message. Lord, you chose both the message and the messenger. So let me sit down and you stand before your people this morning to deliver the message. If we've said or done anything, Lord God, that is not pleasing in your sight, we ask for your forgiveness. And if there's anything that might stand as a distraction, my gravelly voice or whatever it is, Lord, we ask that you just move it out of the way and make a clear path to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, we pray. I'm going to tell you now, it's going to be emotional. I'm trying to be, you know, all dignified and everything, but I got to blow my nose. I'm sorry. Oh, it's my testimony, so. There may be similarities to yours, but this is my story. I chose two scriptures. There are more scriptures, but these are the two that I chose to highlight this morning. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then James 5. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And King James says, the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. My grace journey began when I was really little, but this part of the story started in February of 2018. I received a diagnosis of breast cancer. And after the doctor told me that, I couldn't understand a single word he said after that, because my mind was, he said, what? No, not my name and that disease, not together. I don't have time for this. I got travel plans. I got work. I have a nursing home ministry. I'm going to be a co-Sunday school teacher. I have a book to write. I got to see my granddaughter graduate from high school. I've got places to go and people to see. I don't have time for this. It doesn't fit into my life or my schedule. At the time, I was visiting my dear friend who is a physician herself, and I went there because she was moving from Ohio to Nevada to move into another practice. And so when I got that phone call, I put her on the phone with the radiologist because, you know, my mind was just overwhelmed and I couldn't understand anything he was saying. So I had he faxed us the lab report, which was even more confusing for me. And she sat there with me and we went through it. And I later, you know, 2020 hindsight, realized that God put me exactly where I needed to be to hear the news, because he provided an interpreter for me to understand. My next reaction was, it's got to go. It's got to get gone. It's got to get out of my body. So I had to cancel my trip to Nevada and fly back to Reading to face the devil. Now, Jesus has already defeated him, but he needs reminding regularly, right? So within days of returning home, I met with a surgeon, called the church to tell Janet and Pastor Scott, and they put me on the prayer list, and a chain began praying for me. 2 weeks later, I had a lumpectomy. In the days before the surgery, I had to tell my sons and the rest of my family and friends. My oldest sister, Amy, and my younger brother, Mickey, came to be with me and my son, Mark, for the surgery week. I started receiving cards from you, my church family, right away. The day of surgery, while I was waiting in that holding area that they have for you, about 45 minutes before I was going to be taken into surgery, my cell phone started blowing up with prayers from numbers I didn't even recognize. And it kept pinging. You know how your phone does when you get a text message, right? So at first I was ignoring it because they're in there asking me questions and stuff. But it was insistent. And so I picked it up and I said, oh, these are prayers. And in that moment, I began to feel the physical presence of the Holy Spirit, that those prayers were invoking that I be covered by the Holy Spirit. I wasn't alone. Now, somebody walking past would think I was in there alone, but I wasn't alone. I began remembering some of the sermons I've heard over my lifetime, including the ones I've heard here. Where is God in this? My book of the Bible, the hot coals. I could hear the Holy Spirit whispering to me, you are healed and cured, but you've got to go through this process, and I'm with you always. I could feel all those prayers, and I could see the prayers on my phone, because God used you to show his presence and confirm his word for me. James 5 says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Now, I've read that scripture before, but I didn't get the meaning until I was preparing this message. The prayer is offered in faith. It doesn't say that the person you're praying for has faith. It says the person who's doing the praying has faith. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So if anybody asks you that question again, you now have the answer. It is our faith, the faith of the righteous, that answers that prayer. So it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, I brought visual aids because, you know, I used to be an elementary school teacher. Okay, so I wanted to kind of illustrate for you what I thought of. These are bags of cards that you all sent me. Bags and bags. And I began to imagine that there were tens of thousands of these prayers going up to the heavenlies for me, just me. How many more prayers are going up for you and you and you, my beloved? We are all beloved of Jesus. Those prayers are up there. When you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, don't just say, the only thing I can do, it's the ultimate thing you can do. It is the most awesome thing you can do. To ask our Lord and Savior to be an intercessor for someone is the ultimate thing, because guess what? That prayer touches the doctor's hands. It touches the nurse's hands. It touches the family's hands. It touches the heart of the one who is suffering. Your prayer is everything. Never think of it as, I'm just, the only thing I can do is pray. It's the ultimate thing. When you do that, he says, the greatest commandment is to love one another. So if that's not love, what is? When you lifted my name up, that was love. Thank you. Thank you for that love. I could feel them, I could see them, and I could testify about those prayers. The right thoughts were in my head, and they flowed from my mouth. I could thank God even for what I couldn't see. I could thank him not only for my faith, but for your faith. And combined, I could just feel a powerful energy. We don't always know how it's going to turn out, but we know that God is in the midst. I began my regular meditation with Jeremiah 29:11, which the Lord gave me many years ago. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. A plan to prosper you, not to harm you. A plan to give you hope and a future. I follow him. He doesn't follow me. I follow the plan he has for me. Do I need to know the details of the plan? Well, I tried that. And he had a different answer. No, you don't need to know. You just need to follow me. Okay. Because we'll try to get ahead. That's our nature. So there are three major points of this journey. And one of the first one is, there is no need that you have that is too small for God to address. The title of this message is, I Need a Slurpee. Okay. So this was my chemo treatment day, and my brother had come from Cincinnati to pick me up, to take me back home to Cincinnati, because he wanted me to be there for his birthday. And I had called him and said, you know what, Mickey, I'm not going to be able to come because I can't drive. It's 550 miles one way. I can't do the drive because with the chemo, it just wipes me out too much. And I couldn't ask my son to take time off from work. So my brother said, well, I'll come and get you. And I was like, what? He said, I'll come and get you. I said, but that means you got to make 4 trips. You got to come get me, take me home with you. Then you got to come bring me back and then go back again. He said, well, I don't mind driving. I'm thinking, okay, well. So he came and picked me up, and he took me to my chemo treatment. And there's a little side story with that as well. But on the way home from chemo, I said to him, I said, Mickey, I need you to stop so I can get a Slurpee, because after chemo, my mouth is so dry, I can't taste anything, it just upsets your system. And so he said, okay. So we pulled into the Turkey Hill just before we got to my house. Now, how many Turkey Hills can you pass between Burnville and Redding? We drove past all those, and I picked this one. So he parked, he smoked, so he stayed out in the car to smoke while I went in to get the Slurpee. And, of course, I make a mess with the cup. I never know when to turn that thing off so stuff will quit, you know, because it rises and whatever. So I had this sticky stuff on my cup, and I'm going to get in the line because that's the only thing I'm going to get. And when I'm coming from one direction, another lady is coming in the other direction. So we kind of meet at the same point in the line. So I said, well, honey, you go ahead. I got plenty of time. She said, no, ma'am, you go. And I said, are you sure? She said, yes, you go ahead and go. So I got in behind the person who was being waited on. And it was my turn. And as the cashier told me how much it was, I heard her say, put her drink on my bill. And I just turned and looked at her. I said, oh, that is so sweet of you. I said, but you don't need to do that. She said, no, but I want to. So I said, okay. And I went on outside and waited for her to come out. And when she came out, I went to hug her, and she put her hand up, you know, that she didn't want me to do that. So I turned to her and I said, I just want to thank you for your obedience. I said, I'm a cancer patient, and I'm just coming from my chemo treatment, and this is one of the only things that really helps me afterward, because I can taste it and it's cool, and it just helps to refresh me. I said, you probably thought it was just, you were just being nice. I said, but you were just confirming that God is in everything, even the smallest thing as a Slurpee. He's in everything. He's in everything. Everything. I thanked her, and her face said everything. Now, to be honest, I certainly wasn't expecting an encounter with the Holy Spirit in Turkey Hill. But that's what happened. That's what happened. So my next point is that God has a plan. He's always got a plan. I fought that diagnosis. I'm just like, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I said, that man is crazy. I do not have cancer. There's no history of breast cancer in my family. You know, I'm just not going to take his word for granted. So I didn't even think that was the right doctor for me. But I got a second opinion, and guess what? They said the same thing the first one said. Oh, okay, so maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't happen that often, but maybe I was wrong. So I prayed, and I prayed, and the Holy Spirit came back to me right away and said, there's only one question you have to answer. Do you trust me? And at that point, I had to give up my foolishness and surrender to God. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plan I have for you. I had to give it up. We are God's beloved. He is looking out for us. We don't understand everything, and it's by design. He would waste a lot of time trying to explain it. Instead of explaining, he does. My third point was, the trial is not for me alone. I learned that I had a job to do even in this situation, and my job was to be a light to all I met along the way. I needed to look my best, speak my best, pray my best, encourage, uplift, and be a light to others who were in the same darkness with me. I had to think of the biblical heroes and the people who I know who have been in darkness, and they found a way to minister to other people, even in their sickness. I had to remember that even in biblical times, when they were put in prison, God sent an earthquake to break them out, right? Because they kept preaching the good news of Jesus Christ anyway. Wherever they were, they would still preach the good news, even in prison. So I was sitting in the waiting room one day, waiting for infusion to get this port going so they could give me the poison, you know, that's going to kill the cancer and hopefully not kill me. And I was sitting in that waiting room, and for once, I wasn't focusing on myself. I lifted up my eyes, and I looked around that room, and I saw all those other people sitting in there. And there was a gentleman in there. He said, you know, we all sitting in here because we all sick, right? He said it out loud. Now, I wasn't going to be that bold, but he said it out loud, and I'm thinking, well, that's probably the Holy Spirit just telling me once again, I gave you an assignment. If you don't do it, I'm going to make him do it, okay? And so I started running into people that I knew even. The Holy Spirit gave me the task to pray for everybody. Now, I didn't make a scene and get up and disturb people and say, do you mind if I lay hands on you or any of that? I didn't do any of that. I sat in my infusion chair getting my medicine, and then I just would pray for the person in chair number one and the person in chair number two and the person in chair number three and so on. I had to learn that it wasn't just about me, but I could do something for everyone else that was in the situation with me. Now, I can't stop talking about what the Lord has done for me. I needed to follow the example of the woman at the well who ran into the town to tell the people, I met a man who knew all about me, and he gave me a living water. And the woman with the issue of blood who also ran to tell people. And what about Mary at the tomb when she saw that the tomb was empty and she took off running? I gotta be like that. I can't sit on it. I absolutely cannot. Some of you have probably heard part of this testimony already. You're gonna hear it again because I'm gonna keep on talking about it. My aunt used to sing a song in church. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I cannot keep it to myself. Whenever somebody, when I start sharing my story, people start telling me, my aunt has cancer, my uncle has cancer, somebody has cancer. And so I say to them, well, would you mind if I pray for them? No, please do. The Lord is revealing another ministry to me. There are people who need Jesus. And so wherever you are, whatever the circumstance is, don't ever let it be so dark or so depressing that you can't talk about God. I just want to thank you personally. Thank this, all of you, each and every one of you, for your prayers that you sent up for me. Yes, you fed me some of the best soup and salad I've ever had. You prayed for me without ceasing as a church. You visited me, and I am healed because of our faith combined. A woman I offered to pray for said to me, don't you wonder how people who don't believe in God get through this? Well, at first I said yes, but now I know, because when I go back to James, it says, I know how they get through it. It's because of those of us who have faith. See, We can pray for their salvation and their healing and that they will see God, right? It's a lot of steps in there, but that's what we do, right? James doesn't say that the prayer availeth much because of the faith of the one we're praying for. It is because of the righteous, the one that is doing the praying. I'm still on my wellness journey. I have another major surgery that's unrelated, so you probably won't see me after today for a few weeks. So please continue to keep me in your prayers. Keep doing your ministries. I receive prayer shawls and squares and cards, and just like these baggies represent so many prayers, I can feel God's presence because of your consistent praying for me. And it's not just about me. It's about you too. Because when I stand up and give a testimony, don't you feel encouraged about praying? Because you can see the impact on a living, breathing person. I'm alive. I'm here. I'm with you. You can touch me. You can hear me. You can hopefully understand me. Where is God in this? He is everywhere. In every touch, in every greeting, in every word of encouragement, and in every kindness offered. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. In Jesus' name.
Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you.
Now,